And welcome to another fun-filled episode of the F1K Podcast. Ari Rosenbaum here, talking about, done a couple episodes already about this, but this is one about the TPA payroll provider articles. You know, obviously we've discussed it before, but this is the 10th anniversary of writing these articles, and we'll talk, you know, obviously my opinion, which has been consistent over the past decade, concerning TPA payroll provider, well, payroll providers serving as TPAs, and why it's a bad idea. But of course, first things first, that 401k virtual conference 3, the search for Spock, that will be on Friday, June the 5th. Great Zoom webinar. We have, you know, a lot of plan providers signed up. We'll talk about CPA audits of 401k plans, a lot of new material, a lot of new providers presenting. So it's a great event. Almost 100 people have signed up so far. We have over a week to go before it. So please feel free to sign up. Go to LinkedIn, go to Twitter, find the link, sign up. Great 4-hour event, lots of fun, lots of great information for everybody. And of course, with our in live events, we're still waiting on word on whether we're going to have a Major League Baseball season. Obviously, that will dictate what happens to rescheduling. I think every day that passes by, it looks more and more likely that a 2020 season will not happen. I hope that that's not the case. But regardless, it's looking, even if a season does start, it looks more likely 2021 for our events in St. Louis, Houston, Minnesota. We still have a Las Vegas event on tap for December. The way things are going, that will probably be the only event left for 2020. We'll see how it goes, obviously, with what's going on. It's obviously, you know, this pandemic is a very, very fluid you know, situation. Disney World, where we had that 401k National Conference, it's been closed since March. You know, we left town and they decided to close up after the outbreak of the coronavirus. They may be reopening up sometime, I think, July 11th, July 13th, and the other parks aren't opening. So obviously, you know, even if there is a baseball season, it's very unlikely that fans will be allowed to go to games. And if that happens, obviously that affects our plans. And again, we'll see what's going on. Obviously, there are more important things out there. Our health, the economy, our businesses, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, regardless, we will rise again and we will have events. Hopefully, you know, sooner than later. But, you know, my grandmother was always the one person to say, you know what, you got to worry what you can control, and you can't worry what's not in your control, and life doesn't go to plan. It is what it is. I would have booked, you know, events, and I was looking at Seattle in September, and Charlotte, and, you know, maybe Phoenix, and, you know, unfortunately, we got a nice curveball called COVID-19, and we're just at the mercy of not only this virus, but of course, you know, obviously government dictating what we can and cannot do, obviously, to protect us. But anyway, this week's article, well, this week's episode is about TPA, payroll providers as 401k TPAs, and the history of the articles. As you know, nauseam, 10 years ago, I started malpractice, started in April 2010. Things weren't going very well at the start, as with any new business. The problem was I made some, you know, choices that I probably could rethink and redo. I hired a PR guy who actually, it's a very funny situation. It was a when I was at Meyer Suozzi as a sort of associate attorney, I did a lot of networking. And if you read my books, you'll know that I had a great marketing department at Meyer Suozzi. The problem was is that there was a bottleneck. They only had like 3 or 4 people in that department. You had 50 attorneys, a lot of partners, a lot of bureaucracy, and we had Fred Esposito, who was the law firm administrator, who for some reason or another decided that he should crank out articles of his own based on law administration, which I found problematic because the law firm was not in the business of law firm administration, and he wasn't bringing any business, but the marketing department, you know, he was a rat to the managing attorney, so, you know, they obviously decided to play ball and print his articles. So I really hadn't, you know, any access to, you know, writing articles and getting in front of newspaper writers and whatnot. So I, as an associate attorney, went on my own and hired my own PR guy. I didn't tell the law firm this, and I'm just, people from the firm are listening now. It's probably the first thing. The first time I ever heard it, but I hired a PR guy. Lovely guy. The problem with that lovely guy was he didn't bring me any business. Well, not that it was his job, but I actually brought him more clients than he ever brought me. The problem with him is he was an old school guy, as they say. Very, very old school. So old school that, honestly, he didn't really, you know, understand what I did. And I think that that's a problem. I remember he was trying to have me network with another one of his clients who was a slip and fall attorney. And you know what? Slip and fall attorneys don't do any business with ERISA compliance attorneys. So, and I think the next thing he wanted to do was have me share offices with a TPA or rent out space. And I'm like, you know, Ron, I don't have any money. I can't pay for it. You know, it was just really annoying. He was more interested in getting clients from me than bringing me clients and bringing me relationships and whatever. And I think the breaking point was, again, he wanted me to share space with a certain TPA, rent out space from this TPA, which I didn't have the money for, and I didn't need an office. I just think that that was very, very self-serving on his part. But more importantly, he said to me, you know, oh, well, you know, business isn't going good. Maybe you should take some time off, which, you know, when you got a mortgage to pay and, you know, you got family who, you know, maybe didn't have the full confidence in the world that you would succeed on your own, that wasn't the best advice. And I let him go. You know, that was just the only right way. And so I was very, very down, you know. And then I met Mike and Ryan Alfred from Brightscope. They invited me down to meet them at Battery Park. They were at a conference and, you know, just wanted to talk to me, you know, and pull me aside. And I described how, you know, things were going very well. And it was Mike who said, well, you know what, do what we did. We went on the LinkedIn groups. We wrote, you know, content. And that's how we built up the reputation of Brightscope. So that gave me an idea. I actually did hire a social media guru. And, you know, he was talking about producing content and, you know, content that was like a call to action. And, you know, I decided to purchase software called InDesign, which is the successor to PageMaker. No, yeah, it was PageMaker, which is a desktop publishing program that I used at Stony Brook while I was the managing editor of The Statesman. So anyway, you know, decided to write some content, you know, once a week, write an article, put it up on this new website called JD Supra. They would disseminate it. And, you know, that's how I started out. And a couple months in, I decided to write an article about payroll providers as the TPA and why I always thought that that was a bad idea. When I was first on LinkedIn, I was very, very opinionated. As we say at the 401k National Conference, that 401k National Conference, I said, you know, when J.D. Carlson, the retired Harlocks, were there, I said I was the turn of the punch bowl. That, you know, I say things that are not very, very popular. Well, I say things that are kind of right, but unpopular in the sense that, you know, very frank and honest, and a lot of times that's not something that you can have in the business. And I decided to write an article about payroll providers as TPAs, namely ADP and Paychex. If you ever see the articles, I think for the first 8 or 9 years, I didn't name them by name. didn't want any problems with that, which we'll discuss later. But really, it was about ADP and paychecks, which was a problem because I didn't name them by names. And so there was actually, I won't name them, but there was a TPA out there who was a payroll provider out here in Long Island. They have since sold their payroll provider business. But anyway, the top sales guy over there, lovely guy, and he's such a lovely guy that he was one of the two people that I presented that 401k conference idea to, and he decided to go with it at the first event at Citi Field. But anyway, when I used to write these articles and not name ADP and paychecks, and they were still the payroll providing business, anytime I would speak, he would actually walk out. Because usually the speech had to do with this article and, you know, just my two cents. I was always invited by a lot of the companies over the years, like Empower. I think one year they sent me out to Colorado to talk about it in front of all their other TPAs. And this guy was there and he walked out. It was just very, very funny. But, you know, I was very, very frank and very, very honest in my opinion that, again, I don't think that the ADP and paychecks of the world are very, very good at plan administration, and I think that that's the most important thing in my mind when it comes to them. You know, so many mutual fund companies that do TPA services, you know, plan day-to-day 401k plan administration, you don't see me write articles about Fidelity Vanguard being crappy or, you know, or American Funds or T. Rowe Price. You've never seen me write these articles because the fact is, I haven't seen it where they're consistently bad. You know, I've seen any provider. I've seen, you know, some stuff usually good and occasionally bad stuff. But, you know, you won't see me write an article, again, about Fidelity, about Vanguard, about any of the mutual fund companies because I haven't seen a consistent, terrible part in administering plans. And so that's why I write articles about payroll providers as TPAs and why I think it's a bad idea. And it's a consistent view. You know, I've changed my mind over the last 10 years. If you read my stuff 10 years ago, you would know that, you know, I had worked for a producing TPA. And in the days before fee disclosure, I felt that their situation and most producing TPAs was problematic because I felt like without fee disclosure, we didn't know whether the producing TPAs were putting clients in certain funds because of revenue sharing or because they were really the best ones. And I just thought there was a conflict of interest. It was an inherent conflict of interest that you would have an RIA picking the funds that would put out the best, you know, revenue sharing to help them with pricing. And since plan sponsors didn't know because that was pre-fee disclosure, I just thought that the whole operation was just, you know, weighed down by conflicts of interest. I was very, very opinionated about it. I probably hurt my business that way by being very, very honest because there's certain companies out there and certain people over the years that, you know, don't like me because I was honest, you know, or stated my opinion, you know, 10 years ago. But, you know, I've changed my tune on producing TPAs because of one big thing. That's fee disclosure. With fee disclosure, it made it more competitive, you know, ball game. Producing TPAs couldn't hide the fact that they were collecting revenue sharing anymore. It really, you know, gave plan sponsors idea of what the real pricing was. And so I don't think you have that conflict of interest, especially because revenue sharing has gone out the way of, you know, bell bottoms Betamax. So, you know, I still have that consistent consistent view that, you know, ADP and paychecks aren't very good at administration. I just think that they make too many mistakes. I think that they don't give plan sponsors the hand-holding that they really, really need on the small and medium-sized market. You know, they sell TPA services the way they sell payroll. They're consistently saying that, you know, this is just natural progression of payroll and TPA services are, you know, integrated and, you know, they have this interface. There's a, you know, 180 or 360 integration, which I still to this day don't know what it means. But they keep on selling that idea. Oh, you know, we have full integration with between TPA and payroll, blah, 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 which, you know, it sounds great. It sounds really important. But if ADP and Paychex really believes that it's really important, why do they offer integration with Empower, with, you know, some of the other bigger providers? I'm sure they do it with LinkedIn and Transamerica and Fidelity and all that stuff. It, you know, again, if integration was such a big deal, they wouldn't offer it to the competition. Just my two cents. And again, like I said, I don't think that, you know, payroll, payroll information is very, very important, but that's not, you know, reason enough to hire your payroll providers, your TPA. And again, I don't have a problem with the idea of it as long as there's good, competent plan administration. And consistently, as an ERISA attorney, a good chunk of the plans that have inherent, serious defects are from payroll providers. I had one client, it was very, very profitable for me, but, you know, they had a payroll provider, TPA, that, you know, didn't do the ADP and ACP information correctly, and it was a law firm client, and they owed $70,000 in corrective contributions over a 4 to 5 year period. Actually, it was a 3 year period. There were some situations with 5500s were late as well, and you know, this employer had to take out a loan to pay for the corrective contributions, and that's a problem. You know, that's a problem with a plan sponsor that, you know, voila, they all of a sudden they have a huge problem and have to come up with these contributions. And, you know, from experience, ADP and Paychex have never been proactive. I always talk about a client that when I was at Geller Group, where the plan sponsor, you know, back in the days when the 402G limit was 12 grand, I remember that was the owner of a company, she had to return $10,500. I always remember this client very, very well for two reasons. Number one, they were kind of like in the Happy Meal business. They would design the toys, not for McDonald's, but for some of the other chains like, you know, Subway and Wendy's and all that stuff. So it was kind of nice. So for my niece and nephew, but this is before I had kids, I'd bring them, you know, all these little toys from this client. And then the second reason I remember this client very, very well is because I was at a fiduciary review meeting and the owner's dog took a crap on the fancy rug at the meeting. So I always remember this client very well. So anyway, they were using one of the payroll providers. She consistently had to receive a $10,500 refund off her deferrals. And when I was looking through the valuation report, I noticed that they only, in order to avoid refunds, she only had to pay a $7,500 QNEC. So listen, if you're a owner of a company and you're given the choice of a $10,500 taxable refund of your salary deferrals, or you can make a QNEC and salvage that, I think you'll make the QNEC contribution. Just my two cents. So anyway, the payroll provider never discussed the idea of a safe harbor plan design, and that was a huge problem. And that's why, you know, again, they were a client with me for many, many years to come. So, you know, being a TPA is, in my opinion, the most important thing is providing competent administration. And again, I have seen more errors with these payroll providers than any other TPAs. And they get very little support. They give very, very little support to the plan sponsor. They assume that the plan sponsor knows a lot more information. There's no help in completing the annual census and annual questionnaire, the data request form. If you don't tell a plan sponsor exactly what a key employee is, they'll get that wrong, and that's going to be huge consequences for top heavy. And, you know, there's no, you know, I'm a big fan of one person to talk to in terms of day-to-day plan administration. And from my experience, only the largest clients get that kind of help, that, you know, one-to-one help. a lot of times you will call these payroll providers and there's nobody to talk to. You have this team approach, so whoever you talk to one day may not be the person you talk to the next day about your plan. And that's a problem. I think the plan sponsors need to have that one person that they can rely on over there at the TPA. Most TPAs offer it, and payroll provider TPAs, I find, don't offer it, only for their largest clients. They're also not big fans. They're not big expertise in plan design. And, you know, plan design to me is one of the really important fundamental parts of being a TPA, because plan design allows plan sponsors to maximize their contributions to their highly compensated employees, which in turn decreases tax exposure of not only the employer, but also the highly compensated employees as well. If the plan sponsor is an S corporation, LLP, LLC, partnership, and all that kind of stuff, all that kind of flow through treatment organization. So, you know, and of course, another thing that, you know, really bothers me over time, I had a client many, many years ago. It's since merged out. They got bought out by another company. They're in the medical technology field, and kind of annoyed me that they were using one of the payroll providers for their 401k plan. It was a $10 million plan. Plan didn't have a financial advisor on the plan. So this payroll provider would bring out their financial expert. But the financial expert who helped them pick funds, you know, kept on insisting, "I am not a fiduciary. I think your plan should add a, you know, small cap fund. But I can't tell you to do that because I'm not giving you financial advice." There's so many payroll providers, payroll provider TPA clients that don't have a financial advisor on their plan. And so that brings up an interesting dilemma that I see, is that one of the reasons ADP and Paychex that I find over the years that they generate a lot of business is they refer business to advisors, you know, of clients that don't have an advisor on their plan. And that's a good way for them to generate some goodwill with advisors, and a good way to get clients. And of course, the other problem that I have is that they, you know, in my opinion, they have a very, very high churn rate. And a churn rate to me is obviously the rate as which they bring on clients and then lose them, meaning that I don't think that they have clients for that very long. The two of them are tend to be the largest TPAs in terms of number of plans that they administer, but in terms of number of assets, they're lower down the list because they take on smaller and smaller plans. From experience, they're very good at plans that only offer a safe harbor plan design, because that means there's no ADP, ACP, top-heavy testing. So it's easier for them to work on because there's less problems that may arise. You know, and again, that's been always been my position. It's a high turnover rate. You know, anytime I will write an article, and the new one is out, just posted, and the ones who criticize it usually are people that work for these payroll provider TPAs. And that's fine. You know, my opinion is my opinion. And it's not gospel, you know, which I keep on telling people. That's your opinion. You know, that's my opinion. My opinion is, you know, those two aren't very good. You know, you work for those guys, your opinion is they're fantastic. But you know what? Someone signs my paycheck, you know, they may be fantastic too. I don't know. They don't sign my paycheck. I'm glad they don't sign my paycheck. But, you know, heck, you know, everybody's got to eat. I get that. But it's just my opinion. And you know, some of my favorite things over the years is there was one year in particular, and I won't say which one of the two payroll provider TPAs, but there's one year I wrote an article, and it talked about a court case and how they insisted that they weren't a fiduciary because they weren't. And you know, I did get a letter from their legal department saying I should withdraw the article, cease and desist, you know, we'll sue you, this and that, which, you know, it's ridiculous. You know, I used to get those letters all the time. I wouldn't say I got those letters all the time, but I will never forget, in law school, I was the executive editor of the news magazine, The American Journalist, and I wrote a really good article about one of the law journals and how inexplicably the timesheets that these editors needed to fill out for school credit were, like, you know, incomplete. So the editor-in-chief of the International Law Journal sent me a letter from the attorney that she was working for, threatening to sue me. And he was an international law attorney. And I'm like, you know, international law attorneys aren't very, very good in libel. So I kind of ignored it. And then, you know, the attorney reached out to me and said, "Did you hire an attorney?" And I said, "Yeah, I did. I named the attorney that I had worked for, Elliot Zaffer, may rest in peace." And that was the end of the case. So I've had the experience of that, you know, attorney letter. You said something defamatory, you cease and desist, otherwise we're going to sue you, blah, 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 blah. Libel is pretty hard to prove. My opinion is my opinion. My opinion is protected by the First Amendment. And that's it. But, you know, again, that went nowhere. But the other crazy story with, you know, these articles, the two other crazy, one, I used to get like a mocking email from one guy who worked for one of the companies because I had typos in an article. So I had some trolls. One person one time left a voicemail message with a fake phone number to reach out and contact them. So you get that kind of weird stuff, but not so in so many years. And another crazy story, these articles are disseminated. The reason I wrote these articles is obviously for TPAs and financial advisors to disseminate these articles to current clients and potential clients. J.D. Carlson, when he was at my L.A. event at Dodger Stadium, he was one of those sponsors, and he presented to people in the audience that, you know, he was first introduced to me by, you know, these TPA articles, these 401k TPA payroll provider TPA articles, and how it's helped him save clients from doom, but as well get new clients as well. And, you know, a good friend of mine, Lisa Ann, who's on Sirius XM doing the Fantasy Radio, she was in the audience, and, you know, let's just say she was really impressed that, you know, that people are, you know, that I've helped people out with my articles. And, you know, we brought it up again when the Retire Holic were there at the 401k National Conference. And, you know, again, it's out there. It's cost me business. It's helped my business. But, you know, it's helped my stature. It put me on the map, that article. So I'm grateful for it. Well, I mean, I wrote it, so it's not like the article is actually an inanimate object and had something to do with my success. But, you know, those articles really did. And then my final story dealing with that article was, so these TPAs and advisors would give out these potential clients these articles. And, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, I had one reach out to me who was so offended by the article because, you know, the funny thing about plan sponsors is, you know, most of the time you tell them they're doing something wrong, they'll listen to you. But there are some times where somebody is so, such a narcissist or, you know, they refuse to believe that they made a bad choice. So this plan sponsor kept on emailing me and putting phone calls that he wanted to talk to me and debate my article and how my article doesn't fit his situation. And I ignored the guy because I don't have time for debates. Obviously, he thinks that he's getting the greatest service in day-to-day plan administration from, you know, one of the payroll providers, which I don't even know which one was doing it. You know, if he feels that that's the way he wants to go, that's great. I have no time. Why am I going to debate him? You know, why would I debate him? I mean, there's this, it's like there's this really lousy Mexican restaurant in the next village over in Island Park. I don't even want to say the name because it's going to be somebody from my area who's going to say, you said so such and such canteen is a bad place. Well, the food is awful. I mean, the food is terrible. Yet people love the place. I don't know why. Maybe the margaritas are very, very good, but the food is just awful. A friend of my wife's, the son, had his bar mitzvah party there, and it wasn't that bad because they gave you like these little hors d'oeuvres. But I've gone to dinner there a couple times. My God, the food is awful. The margaritas are good, but you know, again, if you believe that that is good Mexican food, okay, that's fine. that's great. I just don't think so. I have a good friend of mine, Nick, and he's the expert on Mexican food, and he will say that that is like the worst Mexican food he'll eat. I mean, the guy lives like half the year in Nevada, so he's near the California border. You know, he knows some good Mexican food, and he will say that that place in Island Park is really, really awful. But I'm not going to debate people about that. That's your opinion, you know? I'm not going to change your opinion. You know, I think that Patrick Ewing was not one of the greatest players of all time because he just never was able to put the New York Knicks over the hump. And debating Patrick Ewing fans is futile. So I hope you enjoyed this little discussion about the payroll provider TPA articles. As you know, they're an annual event, sometimes in June, sometimes in July, sometimes now in late May. But we hope you, I hope you enjoy them. They've been a great, great marketing from my firm. Of course, I don't get any business from the payroll provider TPAs, but this is the price to pay for being the turd in the punch bowl. So I hope you enjoy this episode and hope you come back next week. Thank you. Take care. Bye.